First Corinthians, please, and we'll take the time to break in to chapter 12 at the verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Over, please, to chapter 13 and again the verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and the verse 8. And we'll use the King James Version, of course. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And God will again bless the reading of his precious word to all our hearts. We would continue in this subject at this time about special, supernatural, spiritual gifts as we find them in 1 Corinthians 12 and referred to again in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We stated yesterday that the context here is vital to our understanding of this question of spiritual gifts as we find them in 1 Corinthians. The context being, it is a church at Corinth. They've only been established 5 years. They don't have the scriptures. And that's the context that we need to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in as we look at them in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. What we've indicated in the day gone past is that the source of all of these gifts is the Holy Spirit. The source is the Holy Spirit. We will see that that emphasis will shift as we look at the subject, perhaps later on this afternoon, if we're able to do that. So the source in 1 Corinthians 12 is the Holy Spirit of God. The purpose of the gifts, we stressed this yesterday, I don't want to go overcook it again today, but the purpose of these gifts was for revelation. The revelation of new truth, the revelation of New Testament truth. That is why these gifts were given, and they were accompanied by sign gifts for confirmation that God was indeed at work and God was speaking and moving in a special way at that special time for a special purpose. And that is so that you and I can turn, for example, to 1 Corinthians today, so that you and I can have a New Testament that we can turn to. So we've thought about the source of the gifts, the purpose of the gift. The gifts were revelation and confirmation. And we have established, we trust from Scripture, not only the source, the purpose, but the proper use of gifts. That there are divine principles laid down for us in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And our brother helpfully developed that a little as he thought about the illustration of the human body again yesterday afternoon. And it is just, I might say on the way past, a couple of things. Maybe I should have said an introduction. I was very encouraged that our brother was able to follow on and complement the ministry. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the ministry is complementary. We're very grateful to God for that. And another thing I would maybe should say before I go any further, that I think for a good reason, the ministry yesterday that was given on this portion of Scripture has raised many questions and raised many suggestions. And for that, I'm deeply thankful. And I would encourage the saints, young and old, brethren and sisters alike, that if there's something that you want to ask, well, you ask the brethren that are teaching. And again, just to pick up a truth from 1 Corinthians 14. That is why, dear saints, and I judge, indeed, I would be totally confident that I'm in fellowship with my brethren today when I say this, that ministry ought to be given in a local church context. This is where teaching should be done. Paul tells us He says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, let the prophet speak. That now, we are applying that to teaching and preaching. He says, let the prophet speak and let the others judge. And that's why that teaching should be done in the context of a local assembly. I'm fully aware that there are brethren and sisters here who have been on the road longer than me, who have studied their Bible more carefully than me, and that is good. That is the way teaching should be given. And if I'm going to come up here with an attitude that nobody's going to challenge me, well, I shouldn't have been up here at all. And that applies to anyone who's going to come onto the platform. We need to be willing to explain what we've said and give the reasons why. Maybe we could stand corrected. But nevertheless, we're glad to be here, and we're glad that the ministry is being conducted in keeping with the pattern, the principle laid down for us in the Scriptures. And again, I go on, the source of the gifts, the purpose of the gifts, the proper use of the gifts, that there are principles established that stand for all time. And very quickly, just to run over these principles again. Number one principle, all that's done by the Spirit of God and in the Spirit of God's name should be done for the glory of the Lord Jesus. All should be done for the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's number one. All should be done in subjection to the Lordship of Christ. Number two. Number three. All should be used, as we heard yesterday from the illustration of the body, all should be done for the benefit and blessing of others and for the upbuilding of the saints of God. The motive, we heard about it, 1 Corinthians 13, the motive for it all should be love. That is, as our brother helpfully pointed out, that is the oil that keeps the machinery running, and that's why we need the motive to be love. And we notice again in chapter 14 that when all this is being done, then the result is that there is order in the gatherings of the Lord's people. There is divine order stamped upon it, not disorder. And when there's disorder, you can be quite sure and confident that the Holy Spirit is not in control. So we leave that. Now, what we also did yesterday was we highlighted in verse 8, 9, and 10 of 1 Corinthians 12 that there are nine specific gifts laid out for us there, they divide into three different categories by the word that is used. Now, if you use revised, I think it might help you. Darby's new translation definitely helps. It distinguishes between the another of the same kind and the other of a different kind. That is how we mark out the distinct groups of gifts as we find them. So what we find, just to quickly recap, the nine gifts, they split into three categories. The category of knowledge, the category of prophecy, and the category of tongues. Now that is important. We need to just keep that in our minds as we come across to chapter 13 and the same verses 8 through 10. Now what we'll discover here is that the apostle, if you look carefully at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, notice what Paul says. Prophecies shall fail, tongues shall cease, knowledge shall vanish away. Now what we have here, dear saints, is one from each of the different three categories that we have in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. We've got a gift here from the knowledge group. We've got a gift from the prophecy group. And we've got a gift from the tongues or the tongues group, all listed for us here in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Now notice, please, there's the prophecy, tongues and knowledge, indicating that what the apostle is about to go on to say, it is wonderful to see that the apostle Paul, well, you see, we know that this is the inspired word of God. It's got the stamp of God upon it. It's got the stamp of the Holy Spirit on it because it's all beautifully in order. The apostle Paul doesn't throw things out here, there, and everywhere. It's all in order. And just as an aside, I think that's something I tried to be exercised about. Not only that we have a message to give, the Apostle Paul had a message to give, but it was the Holy Spirit that gave the message. It's the Holy Spirit that gave him the order for it as well. We need the Holy Spirit for all of these things. And we see this stamp of divine inspiration in every page of Scripture. How wonderful it is. So what Paul is doing He's indicating here, as he has listed a gift from each of the three categories that he has given to us in 1 Corinthians 12, he's listing one from each group in chapter 13, one from prophecy, one from tongues, and one from knowledge, indicating to us that what he is about to say applies to all the gifts in each of the categories that he has mentioned. Verse 8 and 9, we read in our King James Bible three words: they will fail, they will cease, they will vanish. Now, that's in our King James Version. The word that is used for fail and vanish is exactly the same word in the original text. It's just that the translators have done this to, I don't know why they did it, that's not my exercise to speak about that today. But nevertheless, there was one word in the original, and they took it upon themselves to translate it. In one word, they used the word fail. Another, they used the word vanish. Now, if you use a revised version, or look at a revised version, or again, John Darby's translation, the word what we have instead of fail and vanish is the word abolish. They will be abolished. And it's from a Greek word that means to put out of commission. It means, now we've been teaching, as I said yesterday, the doctrine of cessation. And this word that's used, that's translated abolished, it's translated fail, it's translated vanish. But what it means is this: a cessation without recall. Now we can't get any more positive or definite than that. A cessation without recall. In other words, they're going to be put out of action and they are going to remain out of action. That is what the Spirit of God is teaching us, I judge, in 1 Corinthians 13. That these gifts are going to cease, and they're going to cease, or rather, I'm using the wrong word now, they are going to be abolished, and that without recall. Now, that word abolished, we have it there. It's the word we have in our King James, fail and vanish. That is used in connection with the gifts in the prophecy and in the knowledge category. So all these gifts that are in the prophecy and knowledge category, the Spirit of God by the Apostle is saying they're going to be put out of commission. And the idea is that they were put out of commission by a power out with themselves. And I judge that to be, of course, the Holy Spirit who gave them in the first place. Sovereign work of the Spirit to give the gift, the sovereign work of the Spirit to withdraw the gift when its need, the need for it, had passed. Now, come again now to the word that we have in the middle of the verse as to the gifts in the tongues category. Says the apostle, he does not say that they will be put out of commission, but what he says rather is this. He uses a different Greek word and he says, they shall cease. And the idea is that they shall cease of their own accord. Now the idea is this. It is the idea of, now I know there's people here from Fort McMurray, so I don't like making reference to fires, but never mind. It's the idea of a bonfire, that it can be lit, it will flare up, and then without anybody rushing to do anything about it, it will just die out. It's also maybe the idea of a child with a little push-along toy, and you could push it up the hallway there, and it will run so far, and then without anybody stopping, putting their foot out to stop it, it will eventually just cease. It just ceases to move. And that is the idea, and that is the word that the Apostle Paul is using when he is referring to the gifts in the tongues category. That is tongues and interpretation of the same. Again, we have a scripture to back up what I've said about the thing burning out. We have the same word used in Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. There was a tremendous uproar at some of the preaching, and it says that the uproar ceased. Nobody came to quell the uproar. It just petered out of itself. That's just the idea of ceasing. Now, verse 8 and 9 have told us, we're reading it here clear and plain, they shall be put out of commission, the prophecy gifts, the knowledge gifts. They shall be put out of commission. They will cease without recall. They will be abolished. We have learned again in these verses that the gift of tongues and interpretation, they will just die out of themselves. They will cease. And so, the apostle has told us that the gifts, and we're keeping this all in the context of 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul is telling us here that the gifts will cease. Not go over it all again, they'll be abolished. Now that's the statement made. And that always raises another question. I hope the question is already in your mind. The apostle says they will cease, they will be abolished. The next question that would come to my mind would be this. When? All right for Paul to say these gifts are going to cease to operate. Well, Paul, now tell us when this is going to happen. Well, I judge, dear saints of God, he does do just that in the very next verse, in verse 10. He tells us when they're going to stop. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When that which is perfect is come, that which is perfect. Now again, the absolute need, dear saints, and younger believers particularly, to keep the scriptures in their context. Don't lift things out and run with them. Keep them all in their context, and then we'll have some hope of getting them properly interpreted if we keep them in context. So Paul says the gifts are going to cease. And then he says when they're going to cease. They're going to cease when that which is perfect has come. Now with that, that raises another question in our mind. What is he speaking about when he says that which is perfect? To what is he referring when he refers to this something that when it is perfect, when that which is perfect has come? Now, what we said yesterday and repeated again today, that this whole idea, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, again we're keeping it in the context, they did not have a New Testament. When they had difficulties to send for somebody who had the gift of prophecy or the gift of knowledge or one of these gifts, or they would send for one of the apostles, they did not have the New Testament. And we've already stated that these gifts were given to do this, to communicate the divine mind, to bring new truth, to bring the New Testament to us. That is why these gifts were given by the Holy Spirit of God, to do what the Lord Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do back there in John chapter 14, 15 and 16. He's going to tell them the things that the Lord wanted them to know. And that, of course, would come to an end. He says, the Lord Jesus says in the upper room, I have got yet many things to say unto you. Well, there was going to be a time when that was all said, and it has all been said, and we have it here in the scriptures. So what these gifts are for was to bring the divine mind, to bring the revelation of New Testament truth. And so when revelation is complete, that is, remember, that is what the purpose of these gifts was for, revelation and confirmation that God is indeed speaking. So when the revelation is complete, it's all in the context of revelation. And when revelation is complete, and dear saints of God, this afternoon, we're very glad to tell you, and we're not going to go and try and prove it, but we're just going to make the statement, nobody's going to disagree with me. Revelation is complete. We've got the full scriptures. The faith, says Jude, once for all delivered to the saints. Thank God for a completed Bible. Thank God for the full divine revelation. And I should say in the way past, thank God for the dear men and women of past generations who made sure we've got it in language we can understand. Thank God for Holy Scripture. And dear saints of God, in assembly testimony and in your Christian life, we need to stand four square on the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. The Scripture is the standard. Everyone's under the Scripture. The Scripture is the authority. That's why Paul says to the saints at Philippi, he says to the saints at Philippi and the deacons, or rather, and the bishops and the deacons, everyone's under the authority of Scripture. And when men seek to exalt themselves above Scripture, disaster will ensue. So thank God for Holy Scripture, and lay hold upon it and stand firm upon it, dear saints of God. So what we have said then, what we have sought to teach in these days, these two sessions, is, as I said at the beginning, the doctrine of cessation. And I think I have made the case that these gifts have finished. Now, perhaps later on, I will investigate Romans chapter 12, because many people are asking, and rightly so, what about serving God presently? How are we to serve God presently? And that we may look at just a little later. But before I leave this, you can say to me, okay, you have taught, well, I've done it as best I can, this doctrine of cessation. You could come to me and say, well, I know Mrs. So-and-so, and she's down the road somewhere, and she says she's a Christian, and she goes to such and such a place, and they do this, that, and the next thing, all these things they do. What do I say to that? And again, dear saints of God, that demands an answer. When people come to me and say, I can do healing, well, that demands an answer. When people come to me and say, I can speak in tongues, well, we need to have an answer for that. No good just to say, oh, we don't do that down the gospel hall. That's not good enough. You need to be standing absolutely sure. And dear saints, this is why I said yesterday, this ministry might not help you, just encourage you right now, but it is solid foundation for you to go forward on, because some point in your experience you're going to face it. And you need to be equipped. So then, just for a minute or two, what about these claims to the gifts being operational still? Well, your first answer should be this. That flies in the face of Holy Scripture. That's the first answer now. Before we start doing gymnastics with words and coming out with all these kind of excuses, number one, if someone comes to me and says, well, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow night and we're going to do some healing, or we're going to speak in tongues or whatever, well, I can say to them, you know, that is not scriptural. And if they ask you to tell you why, take them to 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. It isn't scriptural. Secondly, the alleged use of these gifts in these places where they are ostensibly used, they're not even doing it in line with the Scripture's principles for how they ought to operate when they were in operation. Because the apostle, as I say, it was foundational there at Corinth, and these gifts were in operation, and they were working away. And, well, if we read into 1 Corinthians 14, we discover what was happening. The whole thing was just in disarray. And that ought never to have been. And when these gifts are claimed to be being used, as far as I know, it's very, very seldom that they're ever doing it according to scriptural order that was set down for the use of them in the first place. Just an aside, I have a dear friend at home who was saved out of a very, very ungodly background, and he had a friend at the same time was saved out of the same kind of background, and this friend had been saved in, again, I made my case yesterday, he was saved in a Pentecostal circle. He invited my friend to come along to one of the meetings, just a young man saved, and he saw all this that was going on, claiming to be evidence of the Spirit's power and working. Then my dear friend went home, just a young man, and he read 1 Corinthians 14. And he went back to his friend and he said, look, I was looking at it in the Bible. It doesn't say you should do it that way. You see, it's the Scriptures we need to be going to. And that's why we're seeking to present the truth of Scripture. So if some people are claiming to do this, you say to them first, that's not scriptural. Secondly, we say, you're not even doing it the way Scripture said it should have been done when it was the time to use these gifts. Those principles being, of course, for the glory of the Lord, under the authority of the word of the Lord, with a benefit for others, not the person who's doing the expressing the gift. It should be done in love, and it should be done orderly. And then thirdly, just before I close, the burden of proof Don't be upset. Dear younger believers, don't be upset by these people. Don't let them put you off your pathway. Don't let them sway you away from the, well, we'll use the Old Testament. Don't let it put you off the old paths. The old paths are the scriptural paths, by the way. They're not traditional paths. The old paths are the scriptural paths. And don't let these things knock you off the path. If somebody comes to me and says, I can speak in tongues, well, the burden of proof lies with them, not with you. You say, right, prove it. Just prove it. Speak in tongues. Do it right now. And once you've done it, write it down and then interpret it for me. Now, that'll sort out the men from the boys. Just do it. You see, it's all right to make these claims and to get themselves all into excitement and they're doing this. Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Write it down and then translate it for me. Now, that would sort out some of them to start with. Next one. Healing. Well, if somebody comes to me and says, I've got this tremendous gift of healing, I say, okay, let's go. Have you got a car? An automobile, you call them here. We're going to go round to the infirmary. And we're going to go into that hospital and we're going to start. Now start doing it. Just do it. You see, we don't need to be embarrassed. You see, we've got the scripture. We're standing on scripture. We don't let these people put us off our path. And we trust them. We're not doing, and I'm not trying to be smart about this. Because do you know some of these people? Many, many of them are the Lord's people. And they're misguided. And they're mistaught. And they've grown up in a different background to you and me. And who knows what you and me would have been like if we'd been in where they are. So don't be criticizing them. And what does the Apostle Paul say? Patiently teach them. 2 Timothy 2, I think it's near the end of the chapter, maybe verse 26. He says, patiently teach them. It may be that God will give them recovery out of this error. So don't be cross with them. And don't try and come across as the smart aleck that you know it all and they don't. Teach them out of Scripture. But again, the proof lies with them. If you can do tongues, well, do it right now and let me see you doing it. If you can heal, let's go round to the hospital or my father's not too well at the minute. Come round and heal him. And what about the miracles? Well, the same thing goes. Prove it. Do one. I'm waiting. I want you to see it. I'd love to see a miracle. Just get on and do it. And you see, another thing who underlines all of this had a time. All of this had a time and a place. And do you know this? That even before the apostolic age ended, these things had ceased. You tell me why it is. The Apostle Paul, I hope we've got high regard for him. Dearest servant the Lord Jesus ever had. A man with heart. A man who just devoted himself to the Lord and to the Lord's people and the Lord's work. And you know what? He was a man of deep affections and deep emotions. And he loved the saints of God. Now you tell me, if the gifts of healing were still in operation, why did Paul leave one of his dearest friends sick at Miletus? Tell me why. Why did he say to young Timothy, Timothy, I've got no one that thinks like me the way you do. And he says, you'll take a little bit of wine for your stomach. So why did he not just heal the man's stomach? You see, the scriptures are clear on all this matter. Don't be upset, dear saints, by those who say these things are still in operation. I'll say, just as I close, that the many people, some of them dear saints of God, they have pursued this path. And in so doing, they have missed the main objectives of Christianity. Says the Apostle Paul, well, Paul gives us the objective of Christianity. To me, to live is Christ. Aiming to be like Christ, aiming for him. And what they have done in their pursuit of these special supernatural spiritual gifts, so called by them, they have brought many of the Lord's people into distress. Just time for an illustration, rather an example. A lady that my brother and I knew in business years ago, she got saved, thank God she did. But unfortunately, she got into the clutches of some of these people who believe these kind of things. The dear lady took very unwell. It was a terminal illness. And that woman died distressed because she kept getting told, oh, if you really believed, it would be healed. The Lord would heal you. The poor woman, and I know a brother who went, who was actually a medical doctor as well, and that just by the way, who went and tried to help the dear lady from a Christian perspective. But the poor lady was in distress, and she just died in distress because she thought she should have been healed. See, these things are not just, it's not just that they don't matter. These things matter because we're dealing with real people in real life situations. And what these people sadly have done brought the Lord's people into distress. They've missed the main objectives in Christianity. And worse than that, they have brought into disrepute the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ.